Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Old Men and the Three ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good, but that's when you say to yourself, it's time to get back in the game and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to be the biggest tycoon ever. It's classic Monopoly, but anytime with tons of twists. Play on countless Monopoly boards, charge your friends rent, or smash their landmarks with a wrecking ball. You can even team up with friends for extra rewards. So put on your game face and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. OM3 fans, I need to tell you about the most comfortable pants out there. They're from Vuori, and they're magnificent. I'm not kidding. Jason told me about them. He called them butter on your legs. Vuori provides a new perspective on performance apparel, perfect if you are sick and tired of traditional old workout gear. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. So comfortable, you will want to wear it all the time, and I do. Honestly, it's comfier than whatever you're wearing right now. Now, the pants I mentioned up top is called the Men's Sunday Performance Jogger. Grab yourself a pair. It'll change your life. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/JJ. That's Vuori.com/JJ. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/JJ and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. As always, The Old Man and the Three is brought to you by our friends at Cash App. Cash App is the payment app. It is the most versatile payment app there is on the market. You can invest, you can save, you can send money, you can buy crypto. Whatever you want to do, I guarantee you can do it on Cash App. Welcome to The Old Men of the Three with JJ Redick and Tommy Alter, presented by Cash App and brought to you by 342 Productions. This is episode 124, Alex Caruso, Mailbag Edition. Quick note, guys, and I apologize. My microphone was off for the first 10 minutes or so of this interview, but the vast majority of this conversation is good audio quality on my side. My apologies. Alex, thanks for joining us, man.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Always a pleasure.
We appreciate you coming on. I just got done calling 6 games at Summer League. I took a red eye back last night, back in New York. And you also did some traveling recently. You went over last weekend to the ACC in Lake Tahoe, the celebrity golf tournament. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah. So first of all, for people that don't know about Lake Tahoe, it's like one of the hidden gems of the country, right? Like it's perfect weather during the summer. I think at night you like have to wear a jacket because it's cool, and then during the day it's like, I mean, 75 and sunny. So from that perspective, just being able to go there and like, you know, make an excuse to go hang out there for a week with some friends and family is a sweet place. But the ACC, man, the whole, so this is my first year doing it, big privilege, right? Because you know they got some A-listers at this event.
The wait list is long on the, if you're a celebrity to get in, it's a long wait list.
They got some A-listers there. And so I'm over there just trying not to make sure I don't step anybody's toe. I don't push anybody that I'm not supposed to, so I can get the invite back next year. But it's a sweet event, man. You know, they run it like a pro event, you know, like a PGA Tour event, as far as like the hospitality for all the celebs, the players, fan control, you know, the hospitality tents. You know, from top to bottom, whatever you could think of, like they run it so well. And that's not me just, you know, giving them the shout out so I can get invited back next year. That's like from the heart. Like they really do just run it so well. The fan engagement's great. And then it's just playing golf on a sweet golf course. You know, it's right on the water. They have the couple holes, 17, where it's like, they're like playing music and you're taking like jumpers on this like mini hoop. It's just overall, it's just a sweet event, man.
How'd you play?
I played really average, to be honest. You know, I think the first day I played with Marshall Faulk and Alex Smith. And I think I was walking with Alex at one point, and he had had a hole or two that was bad, and I'd had to, you know, lost a couple drives right. And I was just telling how frustrated I was, because the beginning of June, like the first 3 weeks of June, I was probably playing like the best golf consistently I've played like in my life. Like I'm low 80s. I broke 80, or I shot 76 with my dad on Father's Day. Like I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. And then like a week and a half before the tournament, swing just feels terrible. I can't find it. And I'm like, oh dude, what is going on? Like I can't figure out what the problem is. But I played decent. I think I shot 87, 87, 86. And first day had a chip in birdie that lipped out, a couple putts to lip out. So if I would have made some putts or hold a couple shots, I probably could have been maybe just snuck in a positive. But overall, man, it's just a sweet experience. You know, I got to play with some really cool people. Got to play with Brian Bumgarner one day. Anybody that knows that name knows how famous he is from The Office. So that was really cool, because that's like one of my favorite shows. It was just overall, man, just the experience itself. Like I had a lot of fun. You know, if I would have played better golf, I probably would have had a little more fun. But you know, I had a couple drinks and enjoying it. My friends and family are in the gallery. Like, well, my friends are chirping me. Family's, you know, supporting. But it was just a sweet event.
Brian Bumgarner, by the way, I'm going on his podcast next week, so everybody please give that a listen. I also got an invite this year, and I booked my Airbnb, and everything was going to come out with the fam. No. I had one of my friends that was going to bring his family out to caddy for me. Yeah. And then I got my club's summer schedule, and it was the same weekend as my member guest. And I canceled. And now my fear is, I know the loyalty is deep. Well, there's some reciprocity, because my friend is a member at Sabonic. So I want to play in his member guest, which is next weekend. So it was just, I couldn't bail on him.
Are you going to be banned now?
I fear I'm going to be banned.
Dude,
I
really they might do. Blacklist you. They might
be like, I've been blacklisted for canceling.
You bailed on the tournament.
It happens.
I mean, it would have been a lot of fun.
What you're talking about, though, with just completely losing the feel of your swing. Like I have that within rounds. Like I had it yesterday. I was playing in Vegas yesterday. I shot a 42 on the front. I started off the back nine well. I'm like, oh, I'm going career low today. And then my tee shot on 15, I just went completely right. And from that point on, it was hard to finish a hole.
You start thinking, and then you try to make an adjustment, and it's the wrong adjustment. It's a dark place when you get there.
I'm sure you've had this with your shot. There's certain times where you're like, my shot doesn't feel right, but the ball still generally goes in. It still generally goes in. You might have an off shooting night here and there, but to just completely lose all feel for it. And actually, in my member guest, the first day we did best ball, and I tied my career best 86. I'm not as good as you. But I tied my career best, and the four previous rounds I had played, it was like I had never swung a golf club. That's how it felt. And so I'm going into this thing thinking I'm going to just jack it.
It gives me PTSD from thinking about the week leading up to Tahoe. And, you know, people don't realize, like, when you play in Tahoe, it's at elevation, right? I think the course is at 6,500 feet. So, like, all your numbers are adjusted by 10 to 15 yards. And then you have to, like, even on your chips, like, there's a couple chips I hit when I was on the course that I was like, oh, I just stubbed that. Like, it's going to be terrible. And then it just flies onto the front of the green. It rolls. I was like, oh, yep, great shot.
That's amazing. Well, we should get into the mailbag. We got some good stuff here, a bunch of basketball stuff. And obviously, we took last week off. We had Justin Thomas on the pod this week. He's playing in the Open right now. Go give that a listen. It was a fantastic conversation. Let's start with some basketball stuff, Tommy.
This is a good question. Mike from Memphis, he writes in, what do you guys think of the trend of these teams trading 3, 4, 5 first round picks for one player, and how frequent it's happening?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we have to go back a little bit to the process. And the process was really the first time where a team basically said, we're going to be bad. We're going to collect draft picks. Keep in mind, the year prior to the process, the Philadelphia 76ers lost in game 7 in the Boston Garden to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. So it wasn't like they were that far away. but they were stuck in this sort of no man's land, not quite good enough for a championship, no transcendent player that was good enough to be a number one on a title contender. So I think that set the trend. Prior to that, in general, not always, but in general, the thought was, if we're going to trade away a good player, we want a good player back. You know, there was a lot of that. There wasn't as much good player for young assets and draft picks. But you look down the line, and it's like Paul George, Anthony Davis, now Gobert. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen yet with Kevin Durant. But this is going to be the trend for a long time, I think. I mean, Alex, what is your sense on this, just because of the nature of how front offices operate now?
Yeah, I think a big thing to think about with this too is like kind of the shift in teams kind of not gambling, but like they're more interested in trying to find a young potential talent rather than an older vet on the team. So like maybe instead of like, you know, like you said, you're trading player for player, like all they want to do now is just give me a chance at that Powerball number. You know, give me a chance to find somebody in the draft. Let me get five guys. And if one of them turns out to be really good and another one's a really good role player, that was a success. You know, I feel like that's a little bit of it too. It's like teams are almost just searching for, you know, they want more opportunity to strike gold. Like, you know, how OKC did when Presti drafted, what was it, Durant, Westbrook and Harden. And was it three drafts in a row?
Yes. And yeah. got Ibaka too in the 20s. I think he was 22nd. Like, yeah.
I mean, he kind of started the whole, you know, they're doing it again now where they have, you know, insane amount of picks. And I think, I don't know how many they had this year. They got a handful next year. It's like teams are almost just, you know, they'd rather just bank on that, let kids develop, give them game time. No, they're going to lose games. Like, no, they're probably not going to have a lot of success. But in the long run, like, they're swinging for the fences. Give me as many chances in the draft to find players.
You brought up Sam Presti, and that's a good thing to note, because Seattle, the two things that come to mind earlier than the process in my career were Seattle, where they were sort of making the first round of the second round of the playoffs with Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis. And then they shifted away, traded those guys, or traded Ray, and then let Rashard walk in free agency. And then there was that period of time where they were getting lottery picks, and Sam obviously did an amazing job in drafting those players. And then the other one is the Boston Celtics, of course, you know, who were making the playoffs in the early 2000s, but then were pretty bad, and they had some draft assets and some young players, and they converted that into Ray Allen. Kevin Garnett, of course, won a championship. They did it on sort of the flip side of that, where they didn't get the transcendent player in the draft, but they used young assets and draft picks to get the good player. The thing I want to note real quick, and Tommy, I'll let you jump in right here. I just want to note also the value of Rudy Gobert, the casual basketball fan. I think about the people we just talked about, Paul George, Anthony Davis, guys previously, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. These guys are like Hall of Famers. And I think for the casual basketball fan, they don't quite appreciate how good Gobert is, how valuable he is. We talked about this, Tommy, very early in the season. We did a whole segment on Gobert and how good he is and how valuable and how impactful he is. And I think specifically on this team with this lineup, he's going to be even better.
If you've been following the pod, you know I'm stepping my suit game up as I'm calling more and more games. So shout out Indochino for getting me all prepared for this home stretch of games. It's also wedding season, so you can get in on looking great. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into the wedding season looking like $1 million, even though the suits start at just $499. You can either book an appointment at one of their showrooms or do what I did and set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. I just ordered a nice plum suit with pinstripes. I'm trying to tap into my inner Walt Frazier, and I think it's working. The entire process was super simple, and the suit fits great. That's the sweet spot. So look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code OLDMAN to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code OLDMAN.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had, and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
I was going to follow up to both of you guys. Jason from Minneapolis asked us about Rudy's fit with this particular team. Alex, what do you see? Do you see Cat? I mean, like how does this change things for Cat defensively with this makeup of this roster right now? What effect do you think he's going to have?
You know what it reminds me a lot about? It reminds me a lot of the LA team when we won the championship. You know, we would start AD at the four, you know, save his body a little bit, don't have him bang with the fives the whole season, 82 games, because that's a grind, right? Like going into the trenches night in, night out, having to set screens, hit guys, rebound, run, block shots. It just reminds me of us having JaVale and Dwight, you know, to kind of do some of that dirty work. And then, you know, obviously they got to figure out their best lineup, but you know, it might be Cat at the five late in games, you know, spreading teams out, going five out, small ball, essentially, like they like to say. But I think you'll make a good point. Like the fit, I think the fit is great, you know, because Gobert does all the things that Cat doesn't really do well. And I think, you know, Cat does things that Gobert doesn't do well. I think it's a good mesh. It'll just be interesting to see how it works, you know, when it comes down to the fourth quarter winning time, what their best lineup is.
And I also think with this team specifically, if Anthony Edwards takes the leap, and he had a bunch of moments throughout the regular season and the playoffs where you're like, wow, that could be the best player on a championship level team. If he takes that leap consistently, they're going to be one of the top four teams in the West. As good as the West is, I really believe that, because I really believe in how good Gobert is. And if Anthony Edwards can be that guy, all of a sudden you're talking about legitimately like a conference finals level team.
There is one thing I think that's going to be, you know, overlooked. I think at the end of the day, it's a guards league, right? It's a guards and wings league. You know, even if you have a really good power forward or something like that, I feel like, you know, the best players are the guys that bring the ball up. I think that's, you know, from NCAA tournament to NBA playoffs, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think them losing Pat Bev and Jared Vanderbilt is going to be a something they're going to have to find out how to replace, you know, because those two guys Jared Vanderbilt went to the glass every time. Every time the ball was shot, he went to the offensive glass. And every time he guarded the best wing, and then Pat Bev obviously does what he does. You trade a little bit of that for Gobert at the rim, which, you know, is a nice give and take, but I think that's something else I'd be interested to see how that fits, you know, how they replace that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should note that Kyle Anderson, of course, signed there, and he could provide some of what Jared Vanderbilt did, but he's not Pat Bev in the sense of the spirit and the moxie and the aggravation that he provides on a nightly basis.
Great vocab.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Is there any players out there? This is from Ted from Boston. Are there any players out there, Alex, because you're in the league right now, are there any players out there that haven't signed yet that you think could potentially have an impact? And we should mention, of course, that DeAndre Ayton just got his offer sheet, so he doesn't qualify for this. He just got his offer sheet from the Indiana Pacers for a full max.
Yeah, that's they end up going to do a sign-in trade with that, aren't they? They have to, right, for numbers? Side note.
Well, it depends, because they might match. I mean, they may match it.
Yeah. As of 33 minutes ago, the Suns haven't shown an interest in negotiating a sign and trade on Ayton with the Pacers, but the expectation remains that Phoenix will match the offer sheet. That is coming from Adrian Wojnarowski. Yeah, it's coming from Woj.
Gotcha. I haven't heard of that guy.
Yeah. I think I followed him the other day. I think probably. Oh, dude, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who the – I don't even know who the big names are that are left.
It's a lot of vets is what it is. You know,
that's what I was about to say.
It's Wayne Ellington, Rajon Rondo, Avery Bradley, DeMarcus Cousins. It's guys like that haven't signed.
Well, can I throw a follow-up to this question to the two of you guys, which I was thinking about? Are there other guys, take Donovan Mitchell out of it, we'll get to him, but take him out of it for a second. Are there other guys you think might get moved in general, maybe not free agents, that you feel like could be this impact? Because the guy that I would have said is somebody like Jordan Clarkson, who I feel like if they're going to trade everybody and a playoff team picks
off the books,
and a playoff team picks him up, you know, that addition is like a free agent addition, and that's a guy you can easily see, you know, giving some playoff team 18, 20 points a game in big moments down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, guys like Jordan too. I mean, that's like what you said. Teams are, you kind of know, you know exactly what you're going to get. You know, you know you're going to get 15 to 20 points a game, a guy that can get hot and get after it. The thing I want to see is how the I feel like there's some teams in the East that need to like round out their lineups. You know, you saw what the Knicks did, right? So they went and got Brunson, but I just feel like their team's kind of incomplete. I don't know. I probably haven't paid enough attention because I don't work for ESPN, JJ, but I think I feel like if that's the only move they make, I don't feel like they really addressed issues that they had with their team.
Yeah, it's fair. And potentially some of that is the fact that they're maybe waiting on Donovan Mitchell to,
that's true,
you know, become available, which now they're saying he could potentially get traded. I think to answer the question, I mean, I think probably, I don't know if he's a steal because I don't know what contract he ends up on, but if potentially Colin Sexton signs a one-year deal as a Flyer, that could potentially be a steal. This is from Jane from Rutherford, New Jersey. This is for both of you because I don't watch a lot, but I do have an answer to this question. The thing you've watched over the last month that you can't stop talking about.
Alex, I have one, but you go first.
Honestly, I started watching Game of Thrones again in anticipation for the prequel or whatever it is that's coming out in August. Dude, I don't watch TV, man. I play golf.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why you guys play golf. Same. This is why you guys are friends.
Same.
I have a show for you, Alex. There's a show on FX called The Bear. It's about Chicago. It's about a guy who goes from working at a place like the French Laundry, which JJ knows, like one of the best restaurants in the country, and he goes back, moves back to Chicago and works at a hot dog stand, like not a hot dog stand, a hot dog restaurant in Chicago, basically. And he basically transitions those skills into sort of a much lower, higher paced environment. Like it's a crazy environment, but just a much lower quality. It. Yeah. And it's just, it's about as good of a show if you like are interested in food as I've ever seen. And it's crazy. It's also just like a very Chicago show.
Yeah, you're a big foodie. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's, and also you, just from the Chicago element, like you got to watch it. JJ, what's yours?
Okay, The Bear.
I don't have the attention span to get through television shows. For example, I thought Stranger Things season one was like one of the best seasons of television that I've ever watched. I've yet to watch a subsequent season. Same thing with Westworld. Like, it is very hard for me to stick with the show through the end. Mad Men, it was like the only show that I ever watched every single season live. So I'm more of a movie guy. I put the kids, like, especially when I'm out here in SAG, I'll put the kids to bed and I'll go downstairs and put the projector screen down and just watch a movie. And I love action movies.
Watch the same movie over and over
again. Well, I actually had never seen, Mission Impossible 2, which is wild because I've seen, like, Ghost Protocol, I've watched like 20 times. So I watched Mission Impossible 2 and I haven't stopped talking about it because it's literally doesn't fit in the franchise. I don't know who directed that movie, but it is the worst action movie I've ever seen. It is so bad. I actually, if you want to watch a bad movie, just a bad movie, go watch that movie.
Wait.
It's so fun.
Alex, did you see the new Top Gun?
I did. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's better than the original.
Top Gun's like the only Tom Cruise movies I can watch.
Yeah.
I don't think it's his fault. I think it's more me. But dude, the list of TV shows, like good TV shows that I've started and not finished is unheard of. Like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Mad Men, Stranger Things, Ozark. Like JJ, I think you said it best. Like I don't have the attention span to watch it and then come back. Like I need it all in that 3-hour window.
Yes, exactly. I can do a mini series. If someone says this is a mini series.
Yeah, like a six episode. Yeah. Yeah.
I hate when somebody's like, you should watch this show. And I'll be like, well, how many seasons have they done? They're like three. And I'm like, zero chance. Like, no, I'm not watching that show. Speaking of Chicago food, for some reason, Chicago and food always pops up in these mailbags. It's almost like Tommy writes these questions. But apparently,
I will say this. We got a lot of fan questions. JJ tweeted this mailbag out 6 hours ago, and we got hundreds of questions. So people did their job today about sending
popular
stuff.
Popular show. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah.
I think we asked you this question actually when you were on early in the season, but your favorite restaurant in Chicago, you didn't really have an answer last time. Were you able to dine a little bit in Chicago throughout the year? Do you have a favorite restaurant now?
Yeah, I do. I think the RPM Seafood is my favorite. It might not be super specific to Chicago. You know, it might not be what the listeners want to hear. Man, every time I go there, I usually get something different, and it's so fucking good, man. Everything, you know, from the seafood tower to the sea bass to the shrimp linguine, like I haven't found an item on there that I haven't liked.
I'm a big RPM guy. RPM steak, RPM Italian. I love both those places.
JJ, what's your favorite in Chicago?
Alinea. I mean, obviously,
it still was Alinea.
Well, the one that I loved that wasn't like over the top fine dining was Blackbird. And yeah. they closed recently, so I can't say that. I know yours is Ocheval, Tommy, which you've
read all the goats on this. Everything with a goat in it.
Yeah,
I gotta make a promise to y'all that I'll do that before next season because I still haven't been.
You gotta go in September before the season starts just to knock it off the list.
Yeah.
I got a basketball question for you guys. Clark Stewart writes, which team with a young core are you most excited to see? Based off the summer going into next year.
Ooh, you know who I'm really interested to see is some of the Rockets guys. You know, Kevin Porter, Jalen Green, it's Josh Christopher, and then that the big man, I can't remember his name, but the big foreign kid that was like the MVP of the Turkish League and then came in last year and had a couple highlights. I feel like they were just so young and so mature, they didn't really know what they were doing, and like that was fine with the organization. I'm really interested to see, you know, if they, you know, kind of make next steps and understand the game and see what actually, you know, winning is about, because they got all the talent in the world, man. Those guys can all go.
I'm actually going to pick someone from your division, and that is the Detroit Pistons.
I've had a feeling that was coming.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Cade, but Sadiq Bey, Jaden Ivey looked great in summer league before he got hurt. And Isaiah Stewart, I'm a big fan of. I think he's a guy that he like stars in his role. And then the big fella from Memphis they drafted, Troy Weaver's just he's done an outstanding job. And I don't know if it's next year that they take an Oklahoma City Thunder leap, where all of a sudden they're a playoff team and then the following season a contender. But I'm excited to see them play over the next 2 or 3 years because I think – In 2 or 3 years, they will be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's a big statement. That's a big statement.
To me, that's dependent on does Cade become. I'm not saying he's gonna be Luka, but if he becomes a true number one franchise level player,
yeah. I haven't played against him yet. You know, we played Detroit early in the year when he was hurt, and then I was hurt late in the year when we played him. So I haven't actually got to, you know, see him in person, see how big he is, see what his skill set actually looks like in real speed. So that's something I'm interested to see because, you know, I've seen him make a couple of moves and finish at the rim. And then obviously I think he's 6'7", 6'8". He can shoot over you. Him and Sadiq Bey are both like big, big, big players. Like they got good frame, can play in the post, can shoot. So I understand what you're saying. That's just, I guess, you know, again, that's why you work at ESPN. You gotta have some bold takes.
I said it may not be this season. I said over the next 2 or 3
years.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think
that's what they say too. They give it a
disclaimer. A disclaimer. You gotta. I gotta qualify every statement. I've become well aware. I've gotta qualify every statement.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
If you're looking for well-crafted clothes and laid-back vibes, then you need to check out the Movement Collection from Faherty. The playoffs are coming up, which means I need to look sharp at games, so I've got the Movement dress shirt ready to rock. This thing looks really great, but it's the comfort that does it for me. It's extremely soft and breathable. Plus, it has a longer length, so you can tuck it in, and a true spread collar, so you can wear it with a tie. I just love it. For listeners of the show, Faherty Brand is offering 20% off your first order when you enter the promo code OM3 at checkout. Go to fahertybrand.com/JJ and check them out. That's FAHERTY.com/JJ for 20% off your first order with code OM3. Alex, this is a question I actually have for you as well, because you're a current player. This is from Medican from New Jersey, who wrote in, what are your thoughts on the in-season tournament and the effect it may have on gameplay?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was always the big discussion in any of our, you know, player association meetings over the last couple of years was, you know, just how do you get the incentive for players to play, you know, in the time of load management, making sure guys are healthy for the right time of the year. Because essentially they're, you know, it's essentially like how the European soccer leagues do their, you know, domestic cups tournaments during the season. It sounds like, you know, a lot of fun, but there's a personal pride that they have overseas when they do those things where it's like a big deal to win the cup or win the trophy. And I just don't know how they're going to get, you know, the motivation of all the players. And I mean, they've talked about different stuff, you know, monetary stuff.
A mil per player. Let's be clear.
Yeah. That's so that's lot. What they that's, ended
that's,
up doing.
That's good money. That's good money it for is. Four games.
It is, but how are you going to, I mean, you know, there, you know as well as I do, there's certain guys in the league, once you make a certain amount a year, like they don't care about $1 million. You know, like it's still a million, like I would love that. Like I'm going to.
Does
that.
Nikola Jokic in 3 years care about $1 million? I don't know.
Is any one or two, you know, the top two paid players on any team in the league care about that? You know, it's hard
that
to say.
That sounds so pretentious. That sounds so
it
pretentious.
It does. It sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible.
You know, everyone's, you know, you're victim of circumstance. Like if you're not in that position, it's hard to argue against it. But I think it's going to be the same thing as the play-in tournament almost. So you just got to do it and then we'll see how it goes. You know, I think it's going to be one of those things where fans will probably love it and then we'll need to tweak it or do something to change it. But I mean, overall, I don't see how it's going to hurt.
Well, my question for both you guys is, when you look at like the injuries going way up and then also just this idea about there being controversy about teams resting guys and for national TV games in January and February and whatever it is to get ready for the playoffs, how is this going to help? Like it feels like you're only going to exacerbate the other problems that already exist by doing this. So I understand like the financial reasons for doing it, but it does seem like it's unlike the play-in where it's all going towards the same goal, you know, and it's basically the same amount of time. This feels like it's because it's a different time of the year, you could possibly create more problems than you solve.
You know what I could see it turning into? I could see it turning into like all the teams like this year, OKC, Houston, Detroit, you know, teams that are like maybe a year or two away, two or three years away. They use this as like their mini playoffs, right? Like they're going to get their first experience of games that actually matter, you know, some type of win or go home scenarios, and use it almost like a playoff practice. And, you know, some of the older teams that are trying to win championships might not, you know, they might bring up both their two-way players and sign a early season vet to see if they can make the team kind of thing.
To Alex's point about European soccer, those cups, the domestic cups, the Champions League, all that stuff, that has become so ingrained in the culture of European soccer and, you know, specifically with domestic cups, obviously Champions League is somewhat newer, but it goes back to when all these clubs first started. And so it, there's a historical precedence. And as a player, when the idea of a play-in tournament first came, I was vehemently opposed to it. I didn't like the idea. I thought it was bad. I thought it would, I thought it punished two teams, basically. Having said that, it's awesome. The play-in tournament is awesome. It really is. And I feel bad for a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers who had some injury bad luck and ended up not making the playoffs. But that week of basketball is fantastic. And Minnesota winning and celebrating, it was just a cool thing. So I think it's worth trying. And I think the league and the union is smart enough that if it doesn't work, they'll scrap it.
Figure it out. Yeah,
yeah, but the play-in tournament now... In 5 years, it's just it's going to be part of the culture of the NBA, and people will look forward to it.
Yeah, they'll forget what they'll forget before it happened. And you'll forget that it was just eight teams, and you went into straight into the playoffs.
Tommy, I'll ask you this question first. This is from Kuthstub from India. Thank you for listening all the way from India. What's a cheesy movie you can never say no to watching?
Oh, I have so many. I would say, have you guys ever seen Night at the Roxbury?
Oh, God.
Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan?
Yeah, well, I've seen it.
I'd say Night at the
Roxbury. I might be too young for that one.
I would say Night at the Roxbury is Night at the Roxbury is that. And, although it's so bad, it's not even on TV that much. But like, if I find it somewhere, if it's on TV at 4 o'clock in the morning or on some plane or something like that, like I'm going to watch it. I think that's like the definition of shitty movie, cheesy movie that you can't look away from.
Alex, it was an SNL skit that Will Ferrell did with Chris Kattan, and it became a movie. If that gives you an idea of
how dumb it is.
I will say this. You are not. It's not for you. It's not for you.
Got you.
Alex, do you have one?
I think, I don't even know if this qualifies, but Dumb and Dumber. You know, like it's just, the humor is so, it's just, I feel like it's a very, very basic movie, you know. It's almost dumb jokes, but it's just funny. It's a classic. I feel like that's something that if it comes on, I watch it.
I've probably only seen Dumb and Dumber three times because I don't particularly enjoy it, but for whatever reason, it's probably a top five quotable movie for me.
Yeah, it's just I quote it all the time. Love.
Yeah,
quote. They love to quote at least.
I went on Netflix the other day, again down in the basement, my quiet time to watch my movie. And I was looking at what was trending and I was like, oh shit, Mean Girls is on Netflix. I'm firing that up. Mean Girls. If it's halfway through on TBS, like I'm watching Mean Girls.
I don't think that counts though. I don't think that answers the question because Mean Girls is actually a good movie. Mean Girls is a good movie. We just named two bad movies. Mean Girls is like it's not like an Oscar movie, but it's like actually good.
Yeah, I think it had its time. It was popular at one point. Like it was a real movie.
What was the movie you were tweeting about the other day?
Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean that's like a B movie though. It's not even It's a cult classic. It's not. I don't think I guess it would qualify as a cheesy movie, but I watch Starship Troopers twice a year. Easy. I watch it twice a year.
We've talked about this, but this is a good basketball question. Kevin Moten emailed this in. He said, "Are players who trying to get out of their deals with multiple years left in their contracts? Do you guys think that's bad for business for the league?"
You know, I had an interesting kind of epiphany on this the other day, and somebody, I can't remember where I read it or somebody said it, but you know, everyone is complaining about players having power and, you know, not honoring whatever contract or wanting to do it. And it just hit me. Somebody said it was like the players are finally treating this like the teams and the organizations have for so many years, you know, like they finally are realizing the business side of this, like, oh, okay, I have leverage. I'm an asset. Let me make this work to the best of my ability, because if the organization or the team has a chance to upgrade, they're going to upgrade. Right. So like I see how people, like I said earlier, you know, you're a victim to circumstance. You know, if you're, oh, that's the pup. If if you're in the league and you have this type of wealth and income, it's a different thing than if you're sitting at home reading about this guy, you know, trying to get from $40 million to $50 million. Like, I understand that that's a real thing, you know, but you have to sit back and look at it and just think that, you know, so many years you've heard horror stories of guys finding out on Twitter or finding out on TV that they got traded. And I think it's finally just to the point where players are like, all right, well, I'm going to do the same thing.
Do you guys know what garden leave is?
Mm-mm.
Garden leave is, let's say somebody's working on Wall Street at JP Morgan, mm-hmm. and they get a better job offer at Citibank.
Oh, I might know what this is.
They have like a, whatever, 6 month, 12 month, it depends on the contract, but they have the contract they signed, but it's basically time off that they can't work and they can't start their new job. What if they had garden leave in the NBA where Kevin Durant signed a contract, but the contract is like it's like based on a percentage of how much time you have left. The garden leave is based on a percentage of how much time you have left on your contract. It's 50% of your contract. So Kevin Durant, yeah, fine. You want to get traded? You don't want to work here? You got to sit out for 2 years. Like, that would be wild if there was garden leave in the NBA.
But you're still getting paid. You're getting paid 50% of whatever
by the new team. By the new team, yeah, by the new team.
Are you guys surprised though? I was thinking about this with you compare like what happened with Aaron Rodgers last year to what happens in the NBA, where Aaron basically, and he's one of the few NFL guys that probably has the leverage to try to do something like this, and he tried to do it. And the Packers basically called his bluff, and it worked out in the Packers' favor. Are you surprised more teams don't just sort of do a version of this and say, like, hey, like, you can sit out for 2 years if you want. You know, we don't care. But, like, which is basically what they did. They were like, we're not going to trade you for a bad offer. If you want to retire, you can go retire. And it seems like a lot of teams just kind of, like, they just sort of, at this point, are kind of doing whatever the players want.
I feel like in football, you see them. You see them do that a lot more than basketball, right? Like football, you saw the Le'Veon Bell sent out like what he sent out the whole year, or at least like 15 of the games. Like I feel like in football, it's a little easier to do that. Where in basketball, you do that with your top player, you could go from a playoff team to not to out of the playoffs. Whereas football, like Le'Veon Bell didn't play. I think they found James Conner, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like I feel like it's a little easier. Yeah. It's a little easier, and maybe quarterback's a different position to talk about. But I just feel like it's a lot easier to like. It's not the same leverage, right? You create the necessity to play in basketball a lot more than you do in football.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Alex here in that players are operating in the same way that teams are operating, and not apples to apples. But the two times I was traded, I wouldn't describe it as being blindsided because I knew that there was a possibility I could get traded, but it certainly didn't pan out the way that I was told things were going to happen. And first time it happened in Orlando, it was like a wake up call to how the NBA works. And after that, it just became more about what do I want out of my career? And that's the perspective that I think more and more players are taking. What do I want out of my career? And you know, specifically with Kevin Durant, the Nets to me have leverage here because of the length of his contract, and they don't need to be really in any rush to trade him or make a bad trade. It just depends on what direction they want to go for their franchise. And if they want to remain competitive, I think it behooves them to wait it out and try to get the best deal possible.
And the vocab today is just on point.
He's just showing us up.
I need to bring the thesaurus out for this. Jesus.
Behooves. Yeah, that was a good one. Yesterday I did. So I played three mornings straight of golf in 110 degree heat in Vegas. I played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I did two games at night Monday, two games at night Tuesday, two games at night Wednesday. And I was so exhausted at the start of my first game yesterday. There were two times that I was trying to make a point to Mark Jones, and I just trailed off. Like, I couldn't, I had the worst brain fog, and I was like, where are my words? Where are my words?
Where you just hope somebody like has a dunk or something where you can just get excited and forget about what's happening.
It's also just funny that you were in Vegas and that's what caused it versus
I went to dinner two nights, but I wasn't out in the streets, man. I wasn't out in the streets. Not at all.
Right, JJ, this is a question for you from Judson, emails in. Besides CP, which is obvious, which perimeter players do you feel like you had the best chemistry with?
Yeah, I mean, the one that jumps out right away is Jameer. And we didn't play a ton together early in my career, but we developed an incredible friendship. I actually ran into him at the Vegas Summer League. We developed an incredible friendship, a incredible bond on the court. There was a trust level there that I really valued. Later in my career, definitely Ben. Definitely Drew Holiday. Didn't get to really play with him, but I definitely had chemistry and a friendship with Luka. Like we got along so well. And actually, despite the fact that he tried to pee on me my rookie year, I will also throw Hedo Turkoglu in this camp. Because Hedo is my guy. We got off to a rocky start where he intentionally elbowed me in the face twice in practice. And then another time he got kicked out of practice because he undercut me on a fast break intentionally that could have injured me. And then he tried to pee on me apparently, when they hazed me.
And
so
you got over all of it.
I got over all of it. I got over all of it.
That's a great character move by you, because
very magnanimous. Yeah.
Not many people would do that.
Besides the Bulls, do you have a sleeper team for the finals next year? I'm guessing you're going to pick a Western Conference team, but do you have a sort of sleeper pick for the finals next year?
Yeah, the sleeper pick. Oh, the sleeper pick's always such an interesting. I mean, for me, I think it's even losing Jalen, I think it's Dallas. I don't even know if that counts as a sleeper pick, but I know how Jake Kidd operates. I know how Duds operates. I know Greg St. Jean's, you know, one of the best basketball minds in the game. He doesn't get a lot of attention and recognition because he's behind the bench in LA with us, but I know how those guys operate, you know, mentally. And then I know that, I mean, the star power Luka has, you know, he's only going to get better. You know, they're going to, even this year, I thought they had a chance to get there, you know, and obviously it was at Western Conference Finals. It might not be a sleeper pick, but I still think beginning of next year, nobody's going to say, hey, Dallas is going to be back there.
I think that is a sleeper pick. I think that's a really good answer. And I think the fact that you're saying that as a current player really speaks to how good Luka is. And I've said this term a couple times when I talk about Luka and Ja Morant. To me, they're both like singular forces where if you just put enough around them, they can get you there. They're just that good. And the Western Conference is going to be way tougher next year.
Yeah.
Clippers are going to be healthy. You have to assume the Lakers are going to be better.
New Orleans is going to be an interesting team to watch.
New Orleans is going to be really good next year. I think they're going to be a playoff team. We mentioned Minnesota.
Denver.
But you have to assume internally that the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks are just going to naturally just get better. And they're going to learn from last year's playoffs. So I like that pick. I'm going to throw Denver in there as my sleeper pick.
Getting Jamal back.
Because they, you know, you play with KCP. They got KCP. I love the Bruce Brown pickup. I liked Monty Morris a lot as a player, but Ish Wright can fill in that backup role. The big question mark, of course, is what version of Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are we going to see next year? But
they got to be on the court.
But we saw how Nikola Jokic can just like will a team to victory.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah, and then so it's like confirmed.
Yeah.
So then it's like, all right, you're putting pieces around him that can play and fit. And if Jamal Murray is any approximation of the player he was before he got hurt, they got a chance, man. Tommy, do you have a pick?
I mean, it's not a sleeper pick at all, but I think the Clippers are going to be really, really good. And I wouldn't necessarily say they're the team to beat, but I think in terms of like overall talent, are the most talented team. I also think we should talk about another not sleeper, but I think we should talk about Boston getting Brogdon.
Yeah,
briefly, because that was nothing. We've talked about it a ton during the finals. It was a hole that they had. They didn't have many holes, and it was a hole that they had, and they sort of filled it with a guy that I think people forget how good he is.
He's borderline all-star. You know, yeah. I mean, he was him and Sabonis were you know, before they got Miles Turner in there too. Like they were the two guys that, you know, number one, number two on the scouting report.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Tommy. It definitely fills a need. And I actually think Gallinari, although he's not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago, he also fills a need, because they, even as good as some of their guys are, they still need more shooting. They need more spacing. They had to come off the finals and then get those two guys for a taxpayer mid-level and then in a easy trade, that's a huge win for them.
The one other sleeper, I wouldn't say they're a final sleeper necessarily, but the Hawks are going to be. That the Murray pickup was really good.
I thought you were going to say the Pistons.
No, really good. No, but they're going to be. I think they are going to be way better with those two in the backcourt.
Hey, well, actually, Justin from Chicago had a specific question for Alex that he wrote in, and while we're on this topic, what do the Bulls need to do to take the next step?
Stay healthy. I mean, get healthy, stay healthy. I think we address a little bit of our backup five role with Drum coming in, you know, shot blocker, rebounder, finish around the rim, give a lob threat to us that, you know, a dynamic we didn't have last year, which I think is important when the league nowadays having a vertical threat. DeMar is going to be DeMar. Zach coming off of his season where he's playing on one knee, you know, still doing what he's doing. I'm excited to see him at full strength, play with him, get Lonzo back. And then people forget, you know, we had Patrick Williams for 15 games last year. You know, it was his second year in the league. Normally, you know, through the second year, second into third year is when you really start to like feel out the game. At least that's like status quo, right? That's where the game starts to slow down a little. They work so hard. And then we re-signed Derrick Jones Jr. We got Javante coming back. You know, we got length athletes on the wings. I really think it's just about us, you know, staying healthy and making sure we get to the end of the season with a full team. You know, have that full season to build the continuity, see how teams are going to guard us, make adjustments. You know, we didn't get to do a lot of that last year with how many people we had in and out of the lineup. So I'm really just excited to have.
Is there anything
back
from that Milwaukee series that really stands out to you about what you guys could have done better?
Yeah, I think the experience didn't help either. You know, they had, you know, the mindset. I think after game one, they probably watched film and talked about some things they needed to do better. And then we came out the hungrier team game two and won the game. And even, I mean, it really wasn't even as close as the final score came down to be. Like, they made a little run to make it close, and it was a good game down the stretch. But we were up double digits in the second half for majority of the third quarter, start of the fourth. And then I want to say that they went and watched film after game two, and Bud was probably like, hey, like, this isn't last year's, like, you got to earn it every game. And then they came out game three and beat the shit out of us. And then game four and game five, they, you know, I think that's when they found their groove. So I think just that experience they had, I think that was a big difference. And then, I mean, they don't call any offensive fouls on Giannis, and it's hard to guard them.
That's a little bit of a take.
Yep.
Yeah, that's controversial.
No, he's a freak. I mean, his nickname is perfect. The dude is he's gonna get better every year too. You know, that's something people don't understand either, is he's got that worker's mentality, you know, best player in the league, one of the best players in the league, and he's trying to get better. You know, he's still hungry to get better and win more. That's greatness personified. So getting through them is going to be a challenge every year in the East for the next handful of years.
JJ, I don't even think we talked about this, but Iggy's our guy, but is there any defending this Rasheed Wallace would have been better than Giannis take?
Maybe more skilled.
I'm going to say no. I do like the idea of Rasheed Wallace in the modern NBA, like peak Rasheed Wallace, Blazers Rasheed Wallace. He would have been All NBA every year.
Great stretch five. Yeah. Good four man.
Yeah. He was a monster, dude. He would have fit right in. Yeah, he would have fit right in. He would have been All NBA every year. Peak Rasheed is All NBA.
This is a popular question in New York City at the moment.
By the way, to be clear, no. The answer is no, Tommy, because I know Bucks fan. I hesitated there. I was trying more to give Rasheed a compliment. But Bucks fans,
I think the answer is clearly no. I don't think
the answer is clearly no. Every night we're faced with the same question. What do I want to eat? Maybe a home-cooked favorite, but that means you have to trek to the store. Or maybe something exciting and new, but who wants to get out of their comfy clothes and get dressed to go out? Well, DoorDash connects you with everything you want, whenever and however you want it. Get what you want to eat right now and right to your door with DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essential items delivered with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour.
With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. Ordering is super easy, and your items will be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off.
For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code JJ. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code JJ. That's an insane deal. Don't forget, that's code JJ for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change. Terms apply.
Jimmy in West Village. Can Donovan Mitchell be the face of a championship team? And I think a second, more important question, what type of teammates maximize his value?
Well, clearly Jimmy in the West Village probably wants Donovan Mitchell in a New York Knicks uniform. Big West Village guy. I'm going to actually answer the second question first, and that's that I think Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert on paper is an insanely great pairing. And those guys clearly got to a really high level as a team. They couldn't get over the hump, but they got to a really high level as a team. And on paper, those two guys really complement each other. Obviously, it didn't work out. And for whatever reason, you know, those stats about Donovan only passing to Rudy once a game or whatever it was, whatever crazy stat that was. Like they never developed that symbiotic. There's another word for you, Alex. They never developed that symbiotic chemistry in a two-man game that you'd want to see. I love Donovan. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is 28-5-5 in the playoffs. He's been an all-star three times. He's clearly an elite player. I don't know if he can be the best player on a championship team. And that's, I don't think that's a take because it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know. I'm hesitant to say yes to the actual question. Can he be the face of a championship team? I'm very hesitant to say yes. To me, it's what Utah tried to do. It's big wings, shooting, and an elite rim protector like Rudy Gobert. And that obviously it didn't work. But they had the right idea. Am I off on that, Alex?
No, I don't think so. I think you made a good point about what they were trying to do with the team. I might maybe have a hot take. I think if Joe Ingles doesn't get hurt, I think they maybe make it another round in the playoffs this past year. You know, I think for him, I think he was a big mentality piece for that team. I think he has that steady confidence where he doesn't really care what's going on, where he's playing. And then he was shooting like 50% from three at one point and secondary ball handler for them. But I think it's a good point. Like they try to do the whole, you know, one big four out, shoot a bunch of threes, have Rudy just dominate the paint. And then on the backup, you know, maybe go small ball. But I think just once you get into, you know, each round you go into the playoffs, the game slows down more and more, you know, it becomes half court sets. And I just think that open free flowingness of their offense, I don't think you had guys that, you know, could operate efficiently enough in that half court game. You know, I feel like a lot of times I would watch their playoff games and I feel like they had a lot of possessions that would come down to one guy with the ball, 5 seconds left. And then they're like looking around to make the pass, but it's like, they're so used to getting a shot up by then or a wide open shot because teams are in rotations. And now you're just kind of living on your one-on-one numbers. And if it falls to the wrong person, you know, a bad matchup, then it just is what it is.
Yeah, he never played alongside another true shot creator like Jason Tatum has with Jaylen Brown, right? Yeah. That Giannis has
Jordan
with
Clarkson's
Chris Middleton.
Like that, but that's not the same. You know, it's a different caliber.
Yes, it's a different caliber. Jordan Clarkson can absolutely create his own shot, but it's not the guy that can potentially steer an offense.
You need two stars.
Yeah.
you need two stars to win a championship. I don't know how many teams have ever won a championship with just one guy. You know, maybe we have to go back to the 50s and 60s and talk about Wilt or, you know, some of those guys. But at least in recent years, you need multiple guys.
Dirk and the Mavs are the only one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that
Dirk
might be,
was
that
the,
might
one
be the one
true one true star. And obviously those guys killed their roles in the playoffs.
And he was like he's a unicorn, right? 7-footer that he just gets his shot off anytime he wants. Like, you're not going to block him. It's a special circumstance. I don't know. I'm a big proponent of you need at least one, you know, one big wing. Yeah. I think you need a 6'6" to 6'8" guy that can go and get 30 to 40 when he wants.
Yep.
Last question. Teddy from Iowa City. This is for JJ, but Alex, I'm curious what you think about this as well. JJ, will you ever get to the point with golf where you're as intense, possibly talk shit like you did on the court?
I was like that in golf from day one. No, dude, I talk about this all the time. Alex, do you play Bure?
Yeah,
are you okay? So you get it then on the golf course.
You know what's funny? So your clip the other day, I don't remember whose podcast it was, but you might have been talking with. Were you talking with Perk? Were you talking about one of the things you miss the most about the league is Bure? So
yes.
I taught my buddies from back home how to play Bure. So we play on vacation now where we go. And one of them texted it to me, and they just got so excited about it. And I was like, good, sharing the culture.
Yeah. So if you play Bure, then you are degenerate. And so, like, if you like to gamble. Golf and gambling go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so for me, it became like an instant way to compete. And although I'm not good, I talk a lot of shit on the golf course. I talk a lot of shit. And my brother was in Vegas, and you know, I was getting a stroke on a hole, and I like had a long putt from whatever. It was a par five. I had a long putt from 45 feet, and I nestled it up next to the hole and I tapped it in. He's like, what'd you get? And I'm like, five for four. And then he sank a 10-foot birdie putt. And he's like, that's a true four. And it's like that shit talking back and forth. It's just like, all right. And I was mad at the tee box the next hole because he was being an asshole. Like, dude, I'm well aware that you're an 8 and I'm a 14. You don't have to fucking rub it in my face.
Yeah.
Have you played with anyone who's like a little taken aback by this?
By this? No, because generally speaking, like I get on the tee box and I'm like, what's the deal? And usually we do like a Nassau closeout. So front bet, back bet, match bet.
Total.
I establish the rules. I always play auto press when you get two down. And that generally creates some friction sometimes because some people don't want to do auto press. But I generally make the rule.
So you know,
that
someone
auto press.
Has more money and they're not worried about losing. They're like, yeah, auto press. Don't care. Going into
Well, I mean, it's not, we're not, I'm not playing like, Phil Mickelson matches here, guy. Yeah, I'm not gambling that amount of money. Alex, man, this has been awesome. We appreciate the time as always, bud.
Yeah, dude, the best always. Great conversations.
If you like The Old Man of the Three, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Yo, Trey.
Kevin, what's up, man?
You know, I've been thinking, what would have happened if the NBA never vetoes the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers and we get CP3 in the same backcourt as Kobe in LA?
Well, you get a very happy Jack Nicholson, for sure.
And the Lakers probably win a bunch more championships. CP3 finally gets a ring or two or three. And the Kardashian empire is forever altered.
What did you just say? Hey, everybody, I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier, and we're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass
or play call. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that saved Abercrombie? Or which real tech acquisition is like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can finally solve climate change?
then check out the daily news podcast, The Best One Yet. Every morning on The Best One Yet, hosts Nick and Jack serve up three of the most interesting business news stories and why you need to know them in just 20 minutes. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies, you're going for that promotion at work, or you just want to know the trends before your friends, be in the know this year by starting your morning with The Best One Yet every weekday. Follow The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.